Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Christian Vanthoff of Brightsall Web Design, and today we are discussing scaling an agency through white label partners. Christian built his first site at the age of 16 back in 2010. 10 years later, he's a full-time designer and web developer. Nowadays, he is working full-time helping agencies scale up through white label partnerships. Thanks so much for joining us today, Christian.
Hey, good day, Julia. Thanks for having me on.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
So I'm living in Brazil. I've moved here around 5 years ago for the first time. Now living here as a resident here for 3 years now.
That's awesome. And what really gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates or inspires you?
Well, what I like to do is that I love helping people solve their issues. My brain loves to analyze. It loves to think about solutions when there's an issue and to look at what the root is of that issue.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I do in my daily life. So either if it's through web design, if it's through consultancy related to those things, or just with family or friends to help people out and not necessarily expect something in return, and just to help out and support people.
It's just something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
So how did you get into digital marketing?
So that started quite early, I think. I'm still 28, so still young. When I grew up, my father had his own company. So almost 30 years now that he has it.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I was when I was still gaming, I used to create profile pictures for people. They would ask me to create profile pictures, and in that way I started to create a few images and things, and people liked it.
Yeah.
And I started to get started to use Photoshop bit by bit. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden my dad asked me, Chris, would you be able to create some ads for me as well to publish and things? So that was, I think, one of the starting points.
And how old were you at that point?
Getting into it. I think that might have been 15.
Wow. Yeah, young to be doing that. That's cool.
Yeah. So I think 15, 16. And then I had, I think my first class of, I think at college I had IT. So that was one of the subjects I had. And that's where we built websites as well. So that was just, they had a task that was build a website. Just plain HTML and CSS. And that was all.
That's it.
And a few guidelines. And so that was, I think, the first one I built. And I think I still have it saved on my hard drive somewhere.
Yeah.
Just to have it and so to look back at from where it all started. And I think from there, when I got into to uni as well, I had a job at a supermarket. And then I had someone ask me as well, would you be able to help me out with this and this and this? Because hey, your generation is all about more about social media, about things. And that's how I kind of started to get into like the kind of the freelance things, not sure what to charge. Sometimes maybe just to go to a company that ask you, okay, can you explain me a few things and do that for free, or just invoice 1 hour and say it was 2 hours, but you get 1 hour for free. And from that started to grow. So there was, at some point, there was one that asked me, yeah, could you build me a website? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, going back after that meeting, I was like, what did they say yes to? Yeah. And that was kind of how that started there. Yeah. So, and from there, I got to the point where I started to work at a company, and I left the supermarket and I went to a company where I would start to work as a marketing specialist in their company, take care of a few of their websites, do their social media, and do some graphic design things. Mm-hmm. And then we went into scaling that up, and I decided, okay, now it's getting too crazy. I'm just going to create my own business. So that was 2014 that I ended up building my own company. And from there, started to do that next to university. So
very cool. And then, so why did you decide to start Brightsoul?
So I decided to start it because I got so many questions that I just wanted to make something for myself that was mine. And especially because I grew up with my father having his own company, as a little kid of 4 years old, I was already in the store. I was just helping my dad, just like the little kid does. And probably
with that entrepreneurial upbringing.
Exactly. So, and as in a lot of things in personality, my dad and I were pretty similar as well. Mm-hmm. That came kind of natural for me. And I think that's one of the reasons I did go to uni to do international business and languages as well. Just to focus on that part of business, part of strategy about marketing, for that.
What do you love most about running your agency?
What I like is to have the ability not to necessarily do what others say you need to do. And I think that's growing up with kind of the business owner ID, the entrepreneur kind of vibe. I think that's what helps me, and makes it hard sometimes as well to have a day job. And it's now almost two years ago that I went full time for my own agency, because before it was during my uni that I did it part time just to make a living and on the side as well. Mm-hmm. And I needed to make that step to do that, because the day jobs that I had after I got married here in Brazil, because I needed a job to pay for the bills, but I wasn't able to officially start my company here in Brazil yet because of some documents that I still needed. Gotcha. So in the gap, what I did, I got back to the company I did my internship at, and I've spent there a year and a half as a marketing manager at their company. Was an accountancy firm, and that's where I really felt, okay, I'm not really made to just follow orders, just to do exactly what they want, how they want, because I had those ideas and those opinions that needed to get out there.
Yeah.
And having my own company and doing that full time helps me to do that and to help, in this case, other agencies, especially last 2 years, help them with that as well, where maybe not all agencies, they come from a web design background, they come from a marketing background, but they had a need to get some extra income to start a business, a website agency, because they thought it was easy to do. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got in, to help those agencies grow, scale up, and bring the experience that they needed.
That's really cool. So what would you say is are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a daily basis?
In my case, because I work with different agencies simultaneously, I think the hardest part is to keep it all organized and to not run after a large backlog of things. Because I think if I look at the last year and a half, I think I've worked with over 34 different agencies, or I've white labeled for 34 different companies.
Wow.
And I think up to 10 of those are more regular with larger projects. Mm-hmm. So there could be full web designs, it could be full branding projects, But it can also be just smaller coding things or just consultancy things that they just want a few hours from me to just get my idea on a project or to get an idea on how to quote things or how to better do things or just help with CSS, for example. So that's all included in the 34. But sometimes managing those and managing the expectations of agencies, the things that they have set as deadlines with clients, the promises they made. And for me to always know those deadlines and have those all organized and execute that nicely, where some agencies require ad hoc actions as well. So that makes it sometimes hard to manage those situations to really deliver everything on time.
So how have you tackled that problem? Are there any like tips you have sort of come across that can help streamline that to help manage expectations on both sides?
I think the main thing is, of course, is communication. So what you need to look at is to define a certain number of rules in how that relation goes. So what is like the response time that they can expect when they shoot you a task, and which days do you work? Do you or don't you work in the weekends? As in my case, I try not to work in the weekends. If I work in the weekends, for example, on Saturday, then it's just for my own company, just to get back on track or do some side things that I still need to do. But so that at least when the clients during the week need their things, that I can focus on those. So communication is their key. And one of the harder parts with that in total, as it goes to tasks and deadlines, is that a lot of agencies have their own routines. So when you work with different companies, you work with different software, you work with different systems and processes and how do they do things. Right. So in my case, the majority of the web design agencies that I work with, they kind of follow kind of the same system. Of course, there's companies that use a copywriter or not. Some have the clients provide content or not. But those are all minor things that might impact it a little bit. But in general, those things are the same. The larger, the harder part is having all the different project management systems lined up. So what I've tried to do in the end of last year and the beginning of this year, my objective is to have it a little bit more automated. So for myself, I use ClickUp to manage my tasks. Mm-hmm. So that whenever someone adds something to Basecamp or another ClickUp workspace, that I get that notification inside my ClickUp as well. So it gets lined up in that way. Because you can't always be on top on like six, seven different workspaces or accounts, because you're gonna lose that visual part of that. And
that's really interesting. And then, so how would you say a white label partner is beneficial to an agency looking to scale?
So when you want to grow your company, one of the first things is that you need to look at services. So before you start scaling, the first step is services. You need to excel at what you do. You need to be good at it so people trust your company. Mm-hmm. When you then you have the next step is hiring or profit. I think the second one is profit. So you need to make enough profit to build that financial reserve that you need to scale up and afterwards to hire staff so that you, in the end, you're able to scale up.
Yeah.
But the hard part is when you work with employees, so that's why profit comes first before hiring people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what we think about is that when we need to hire people, they come at on a payroll, we pay them a monthly fee. And for a lot of agencies, they can't do that because they don't have a fixed monthly income. Of course, if they have a sufficient recurring revenue stream, with like maintenance packages or any other like SEO services that are ongoing, of course you have a better margin, you have a little bit more of a solid cash flow, but a lot of agencies, they still depend on the projects to start and to finish to get their money. So when you want to grow, you don't always have the possibility to dedicate a fixed salary a month to get someone on board. And that's what a lot of agencies think, is that the only way to scale up is that they need to hire people on a fixed way, on a fixed payroll. But that's not completely true, because that's where white label comes in. So if you want to scale up and you don't have the budget to get someone on board full time, what you can do is you bring someone on that does part of the job, and maybe he does that for other companies as well, but you don't need to pay them a fixed salary. So depending, it can be on a project basis that you have a fixed percentage of the project, or you have the white label partner has send a separate quote as well. So after a while, you know exactly what the quote is almost going to look like. So you're able to budget that into projects. But what you can think as well, because someone else is going to do part or all of the work, you are able to focus more on sales. So that allows you to focus on sales without having a fixed budget for the operational part, so for outsourcing the work, but you have someone that you can create a relationship with that is only on project basis. So it's kind of how people sell on a commission base. So if you don't have a fixed salary, but you pay someone a commission, you are able to scale because you don't have fixed costs, only if there's something coming in, right?
Yeah.
So when you are able to work with someone for a longer time that does white label work, and for someone that doesn't know exactly what white label is, because I don't think we discussed that entirely. So white label is basically if you have a brand, for example, in a supermarket, you take a product that doesn't have really an A brand. It's Coke, but it's not from Coca-Cola. It's not from Pepsi. It's still the same product. You don't know exactly which brand it is. So when someone does white label work, it's that it's someone that works for you that doesn't necessarily need contact with the client. So the client sees your agency while someone else executes it for you.
Exactly. And so are you the one who's doing all the work directly with the client, or is the agency that you're working under that you've white labeled your services for, are they the ones who are dealing with the client and then you, and then they're relaying the information to you and then you're doing the work?
So yeah, in this case, I am the white label partner. So I do the work and I got someone aboard as well that works with me. So that helps me to do some of the tasks as well in some of the maintenance parts of my agency that he takes care of. So I work with different agencies that need to scale up. So they need to, sometimes I help them as well first to put some new processes in place so they can work faster and work better, so it communicates well, especially if people are new. Because if someone is new to the market but is great at sales, wants to sell websites and is not really great at design, not really great at technical things, then what you need to do is to focus on the things that you do well, and you let others take care of the things that you can't, because otherwise you're still gonna keep in the same position, because it's gonna drain your energy, it's not gonna go fast because you don't like doing it, you're not good at it. So maybe clients are happy because their expectation was what you're delivering, but it's harder to grow because you're still doing the same things that you don't want to do, that you can't do well, and thus you can't charge more faster either. So that's where that's really relevant to do. So in my case, I help those clients with sometimes putting those things in place and execute the projects for them. So depending on, for example, the company, it might be that I do the full project. So where I work with my client and the end client, and I participate in the meetings, because when I do the full website design, I need to know exactly the look and feel of the client, how they communicate. So in that way, it's less, I call it kind of semi white label, because the client knows it. and I sometimes have a company email, but I'm not on a fixed payroll for the client, for my white label client. So
yeah,
there's different ways in that way that you can scale up without having all the fixed costs in that way to display yourself as an agency. Mm-hmm. So you can find me on, I think, 2 or 3 agency websites as well as part of their team.
Yeah.
in that way, because I work with them for a longer time.
Yeah.
So I represent their brand, and with some I have contact with clients, some I don't. Mm-hmm. And of course that impacts as well in the percentage or the quote that I give the client, of course, because that's the involvement and the time that you spend. But the project gets better once I'm able to jump on meetings and participate in those to really know what's going on. And another way, for example, which if you don't have much budget and you need someone just to set up the initial things, do an initial design. Let's say you need to design a header, a footer, the home page, and one internal page. Then they can get someone on board, or they themselves, the client themselves, because they don't need to do all the creative stuff. They don't need to find out the wheel. They don't need to discover what to do and how to proceed. They can just copy the first internal page that's approved by the client, duplicate it, and sometimes just they change the content in it, mm-hmm. and finish the website if it's, for example, a small brochure site. So yeah, okay. If you have an about us page, a lot of times you can then already create a simple service page. You can create maybe a little portfolio page if you have all the basic styling in place.
Yeah.
So sometimes agencies can do that too, is that they just outsource part of that process. So the initial design, mm-hmm. and then the scaling up off from that initial design to the full website. Some agencies use someone for a lower rate as well that can do the bulk work, mm-hmm. And that's happy to do those. And sometimes even they use a VA to do that, depending on the complexity of the work, as long as it's clear how it works and what has been set up. So using a white label partner can be really bring you a lot of advantages to grow up, because you don't have the fixed costs. You only have a part of the project that goes there. So
is that the norm? It's normally a percentage of the project is what you would charge from an agency?
So I have worked and have worked with both things. So I think when you work just a couple of times with an agency, so every 3 months or like 4 times a year, then you don't work generally with percentages. You just give them a quote, because the projects are generally different and in that way. Mm-hmm. But if it's a long-term relationship, I generally get into a percentage share.
Okay.
Because that brings kind of the dedication from both sides. So if I do the entire project, and I deliver quality, he is able to increase his prices as well. So with one of the agencies I've worked with, I think the first project we did, I think there was a project he sold for $1,500, and he gave me all because he just needed the project to build his portfolio, and he had let me handle it. And then we went up to projects of $10,000. So,
oh, wow.
Me working with him in that case made it possible for him as well to scale up and start charging more, because he discovered that if he would take care of the sales, mm-hmm. of all that part, and take care of the client side of things, deal with the contracts, payments, content collection, and let me handle like the technical stuff, the design stuff, and all the rest that's involved with the website, he was able to dedicate more time to other things as well. So he was able to focus more on sales and not necessarily get all the clients he could, pick out the ones that were wanting to pay what he deserved to receive. So
exactly. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Can you talk a little bit about what is the difference between, you know, having working with a white label partner such as yourself and working with a freelancer. Is there any differences that you would like to talk about?
I'm not sure if there's a lot of difference. I think when you speak about white label partner, when you speak about freelancer and partner, generally freelancer is one that goes from one project to another, to one company to another, and that just gets hired for the job. In this case, when you have work with a white label partner, and of course it can depend on the person itself, but my interest is to help that company grow. Mm-hmm. So they will also keep me on board as well. And I think because it's the partnership in that case, what I do, so I don't sell it as well as a white label design, white label websites. I sell it as a white label partnership.
That's cool.
Because I give the best that I have. And coming back from a business owner perspective, I grew up as in a business, in a family business that has been there now for 30 years, where I've been involved as well in different stages of the company, from scaling up the actual size of the store, like three times or three different moments, and I think maybe 20x the size of the store compared to the first.
Wow.
And still staying small in terms of employees, but improving quality and things, and how to market that and how to get the higher ticket clients. That really has helped me as well understand different people as well. So with my background in business, international business, different things about marketing, the financial structure of companies and things, I know exactly as well how I can help that company as well grow, not only just doing websites, but just doing it in the way that serves them. And I think a lot of freelancers, they are there just to make their revenue, to get their turnover in place, get their sales, and then they're gone when they receive it. And that's in the beginning, you asked me, what do I wake up for? And I said, it's problem solving, what I like.
Yeah.
Helping people. And when you help people, and that's kind of how I started to be able, was able to grow my business and start doing white label design, is in a few Facebook groups I started to, when still in uni, just help people with the issues they had. And that's how I learned as well part of web design, because people had different issues and I was like, okay, let's see if we can solve that one.
Yeah, and,
and a lot of people, they never say anything about paying and things, and they never ask. And sometimes they afterwards they reach out and they say, okay, can you help me with this? I'll just pay you for that. Or you really helped me. You saved me a couple of hours with that, what you did in 30 minutes. I just want to send you a gift card. And it's okay. You don't need to pay me. You can send me an Amazon gift card. And what I used to do is, because I live in Brazil and a lot of times they send the US gift cards from Amazon.
Yeah.
So because of all the import tariffs and fees, I can't really order electronics or something like that. So what I used to do is buy books with it.
That's fine.
And in that way, when helping people would get me knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was for me how I started to grow that. And I think the last 2 years I've bought like 7 books, I think. And all those 7, I didn't pay a dime for it.
That's
cool. All because of people that gave me gift cards. Mm-hmm. And that's how I turned that into. And that helped me to create a name a little bit in sort of part of the WordPress community, especially in the Divi community. Mm-hmm. And that got me some partnership with agencies that were, until a year ago, for example, some are now until today that I work with that outsource to me. And just because of that. So I think when you want to work with people and you want to grow and scale up, what you need to do is put the interest of others first. Because if you only help people because of your own to feel good or to get something out of it, mm-hmm. you get something out of it maybe that moment, but mm-hmm. it's not long term.
Well, and it builds that trust factor of the know, like, and trust factor that you, of who you do business with too.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people that just when there's something, someone asking a question or needing, looking someone to hire someone, a lot of times they just put my name into a Facebook thread in a group.
That's awesome.
Because of that, because they know my reputation, they've seen me before, they know what I can do.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of people I never even met, I never sometimes seen them even online, but they know who I was. So that kind of created that and helped me to scale up in that way and to help other agencies scale up and grow and do that. So.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because I know we've talked about, you know, using agencies using a white label partner such as yourself is super beneficial for helping them to scale. So I was going to ask you, you know, how do you scale your business? So obviously helping people and just going above and beyond has been really beneficial in helping get your name out there through getting more referrals. Are there any other tactics that you use to grow your own white label agency?
So the question always is, what does growth mean to you, to every agency? So everyone, of course, has their own goals. And nowadays, it's really popular that people say, and in the past as well, in order to make money or to grow, you just need to scale up. You need to get 10 employees. But no, you don't. Because it's not always about having a lot of employees, having a large turnover. And that's why the second step of growing and scaling up, so after service quality and services, is profits. Because you can scale up whatever. If you skip the profits part, you're never gonna make money. You're not never gonna have the payout yourself, the profit distribution that you as a business owner need to live the lifestyle
you
need.
You're just giving yourself more work for no reason.
Yeah. Because you need to help yourself first. Because if you, as the most important in the business, aren't happy, you are worrying about a lot of things and worrying about paying the salaries of your employees, which of course is a good thing, but you need to pay yourself first in that way, because otherwise you're not motivated to get the business, the growth and the profits needs to pay those employees.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you talk about that, so my goal isn't necessarily to scale up as much. I need to, my objective is to get the lifestyle that I want without all the worries about, no, I need to pay that, I need to do that. I do what I love.
You want that freedom and yeah, exactly. So you're just able to pinpoint that goal that you want. And it's not necessarily running a 10-man agency.
Yeah, exactly. So in my case, what my goals are now is to improve efficiency, speed up projects. So I can make the same that I do now, maybe working half the time that I do.
Yeah.
So I have more quality of life. So for example, nowadays, because I don't work for a fixed company, I just have my deadlines. So for example, yesterday and this morning, for example, before our call, I needed to take my one of our dogs to the vet. I was able to do that because I work for myself. I define my schedule. So I can change my schedule to whatever I need and I don't need to worry about things. And I think that's what I like. So I would probably at a certain point scale up maybe a bit, but to guarantee that I keep problem solving, that I keep interested in doing that, and to help people with that. So even for example, so the one that I've now on board is my nephew. So, and during COVID, he was at home like all the time because there were schools in general weren't open. So he didn't do anything. So I said, well, I need someone to help me out with things. I got a few courses that you can do. He didn't know anything about web design, about WordPress at all. He didn't know the name.
Yeah.
But he was always interested in IT and things and tech and kind of those from the current generation that is always with their cell phones and things. And I said to him, so I said, I'm going to get you on board 15 hours a week. You come over here because he lives like 5 minutes by bike from my place. So you're going to just sit next to me and I'm going to get you a few courses. You're just going to follow them. If you have any questions, ask me. And I'm going to give you small tasks each at a time. So at that way, I'm creating now someone that can help me grow my business, mm-hmm. that I've been able to teach, but as well that he is able to make a little bit of money. Don't spend whole day at home doing nothing.
Yeah.
And someone that I can now help to scale up the business, because when you scale up, you need to put processes in place. And if you have processes, you need to make them. So even everyone, if you have a background in web design or not, should be able to follow processes, right?
Yeah.
That's how companies like McDonald's and Starbucks scale up.
Yeah.
Because they create a process that is easy to follow without having any background at all and whatever. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, that's awesome that you were able to help your nephew. And yeah, I think hiring interns and, you know, really training the next generation is so beneficial to both sides, both the agency and the up and coming next generation. So it's really interesting. Yeah. So where do you see Brightsall in 5 years' time?
So in 5 years, I hope to maybe have a team of in total 5 max.
Okay.
Just to be able to, so I can focus on doing the things that I like, that I love, and have some other people maybe that I train do the recurring things, to like executing some of the procedures and bringing them up and helping that scale up. So when I always think about those things, you need to have different skills that can scale up. So mm-hmm. you need to have maybe one or two more in development, one more in design, and someone maybe that does more copy, for example. But the question is, are we going to hire them, or is that going to be white labeled as well?
So interesting.
Because of the benefits of doing that helps you to do that. So that really depends on what your objective is, of course. But
yeah,
I like to be more in a management role as well, because I cannot use my brain. You can use strategy and client. So I would love someday just to work with improving existing websites, how to improve them, how to make them convert more, because of understanding the target audience that they work with and what to do with that. So, but I'm still 28, so
got lots of time
until retirement. There's obviously a lot of different things that still are going to happen, and I'm just excited to see how that's gonna go.
That's awesome. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There's a few, but I think the first one that really made an impact, I think it was even an audiobook. Mm-hmm. It was called Built to Sell. And it's a book about how to make a company run without you, how to make a company worth something. So if I'm not going to leave my company, it's not worth anything, because mm-hmm. it needs me to run.
Right.
So that book teaches you how to, and it uses kind of an analogy of a business owner that has a printing company. So if he wouldn't be in a company, he wouldn't be able to have any value. Mm-hmm. Maybe only some leftovers of machines and things that he uses, but nothing else. So that book goes into how to build a website, how to build a business that is worth something that you can sell.
And coming doesn't back to necessarily all those processes. Need to be.
Yeah. So it comes back to the processes and why you need to do things and how to define those and how to make it run without you.
And
gotcha. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
So my morning routine. So probably I generally wake up like at 7:30. I don't get up yet. I'll generally check my phone, get all the notifications gone. The emails that I know I need to respond to, I pin them so I can find them just pinned every time that I open my email later during the day.
Okay.
I can see that. So there's sometimes there might be something that is that slips through the cracks and I just forget to respond to it.
Yeah.
But generally there's a few emails that I still need to respond to that are there. Then I get up, I get the dogs their food as we switch to natural food. That costs a little bit more time in the morning.
Gotcha.
So I think that's around 8 that I really get up, 8:15, and I get them the food. And then I get breakfast, and then at 9, I generally get to my desk, and then I do some email, do some checking up for the day, what needs to be done, look at my project management software, and then I think go into client work.
Gotcha. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I haven't really been into more CEOs in that case. I just like to look at just people that I know that I admire and how people do things. So I'm really about peer connections. So if you look at that, I always look at three levels. So the mini-me, which in this case is my nephew, which is a mini-me, which I'm training, which I'm giving knowledge.
Yeah.
The Mimi, so which is the peer on the same level, so which is someone that goes through the same things I do. So I have a friend which we have every week on Wednesdays. We have an hour chat or an hour and a half, just about, could be about personal life, it could be about sports, it can be about business, about web design, anything. And the Maxi Me, so and the Maxi Me is someone that's ahead of me. So it could be could be inside business, it can be just personal life, someone that has been at the places I have never been. So for example, it could be my dad, it could be a local friend, one of my best men, for example. And in that way I try to do that. So I'm not really about the CEO kind of thing, because it's really not really representable. It's sometimes more dream than something you can really grasp and that's close to you and focus on you. So I prefer that way, quality over distance.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. So it's all about your inner circle for you. So having that person who you are working to train, having that person who you really relate to, that you, you know, you connect for those regular calls and your brainstorming ideas and sort of both pushing each other. And then you've got that person who you're sort of aspiring to be, who's really pushing you out of your comfort zone and helping you to grow at a quicker pace.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think when we learn things, a lot of people give you knowledge for free, right?
Yeah.
If you go to someone, you can you help me with that? I think it's my task as well to give that knowledge to someone else.
Yeah.
To give the other one the thing that I had to give them the chance as well to grow. So I think that helps us learn, because you learn more by teaching as well. So
yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, definitely. It's such a great way to learn. Okay, and then what is your favorite online tool?
I got a few, but I think one that I recently really got to learn is Text Expander.
Okay.
Which allows you to create an abbreviation and it outputs the entire value. So, for example, if you do some things every time, you need to type them all out and it can have different functions in that. So, for example, I have a short handle for my email. I got 2 or 3 different email addresses that I often use, and I just create a short handle. So semicolon at, and then CB, that will give me my Christian at Brightsoul email.
Okay.
And it outputs the complete one. But for example, when I do development, there's a lot of snippets or pieces of code that I often use. I'm able to create just a little short handle of like 6 characters. So generally it's semicolon and then the kind of language it is. So for example, PHP, then a dash, and then the type of snippet that I need. So the character. So then that can output about 30 lines of code, or for example, email templates. So when it started, go to the subject line and I type in the abbreviation, it will output the email subject. It includes a tab and then the complete body for the email. And if there are placeholders, it gives me a pop-up screen where I can just insert those placeholders and it just outputs the complete email.
That's so, so cool. And what is the name of that really tool?
Text Expander.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's awesome. I gotta check that one out too.
So it's something that really saves you time and gets you reports as well, how much time you saved. In my case, not completely true because I use it as well, for example, to output license keys for plugins or systems. And it is always about the typing out that saves my time, but also going to sometimes to a site or to an Excel sheet or a Google Sheets, going there to be able to find the right license key. So that time isn't always right, but it's nice to see how much, how many, abbreviations you've used and to do. So it saves me a lot of time.
Yeah, very cool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think to focus on recurring revenue, because that's the baseline for every month. And to put things in place that give you that recurring thing. Because if you don't have, especially in web design, if you don't have recurring revenue in place, you depend only on starting and finishing projects. And as soon as you start to do larger projects, and of course you can include milestones for payment. So you can have a, for example, 40, 30, 30 payment schedule, but the most common one is 50 before 50. Around the launch. Sometimes they do it 5 days before or 5 days after. Depends on the company and how you work and how you do it with clients. But recurring revenue in that case is key, because if you don't have anything, you have that. And you just need to make sure that that recurring revenue covers the costs that you have for that month to at least have a break even. So if there's no projects coming in, then to do that.
Yeah, that's a really great tip. And yeah, that's definitely something that most people don't think about till later on when, Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Christian. It's been really great chatting with you and I really appreciate you joining us.
Pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.